to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, God. Let's take a breath together. Did you know that God is sitting on God? Did you know that? Because it is. Can we turn this down just a fuzz, Rick? Thank you, sir. So this year our theme is Living Out Loud. And for the whole month of March, we've been looking at cultivating authenticity. By the weeks, we've looked at everyone else is already taken, which was a call and a reminder, just do you. In my 12-step world, we call that stay in your own lane and quit taking everybody else's inventory. And then we looked at dropping our masks. And we looked at that from the perspective of dropping the ones we wear with one another, but more importantly, dropping the ones we wear to hide us from ourselves. Because I can't show you what I won't show me. It's just that simple. And last week we looked at boundaries build bridges. And we really looked at that from the perspective of understanding that ultimately what defines us is the truth of our being, not the limits that we set in this conditioned realm. Now, I want to speak to a tender thing, because sometimes when we set limits, when we communicate who we are, with other people, I got you. They don't like who we are, and they don't like the boundaries, and they certainly don't like the limits. And sometimes people act out in horrific ways. The hardest part in those moments is to remember they chose that action. That you, by being you, in no way caused someone else to do anything. We don't have that much power. We just don't. Even if they blame you, it doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it so. And so part of this journey of cultivating authenticity is cultivating the capacity to really hold the both and. Because sometimes our spiritual correctness hurts in this human experience. Sometimes it hurts. And that's okay. And it's okay however you dance with it. It's okay whatever music you put on, because it's your journey, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's really what we're going to talk about this morning. No approval needed. Yeah. None. Do you know why no approval is needed? Because you are the infinite in form. Yeah. It is you. You are product approved from the manufacturer. I'm just saying, right? The problem is we are all steeped in conditioned thinking. See, Ernest Holmes said this in the second paragraph on page 5 of this thing called You. There is something within you beyond all doubt and fear. Something which has never been limited by your acts or destroyed by your feeling. This is the only something that will make you whole. Now, if you want more of that, there are 5 copies of this thing called You on that table back there. I highly recommend, if you haven't, or even if you have studied Ernest Holmes, that is the book to start with. And if you can get from the beginning to the end of that book and not be able to celebrate yourself a little bit more than you did when you started, come talk to me. Right? It is that essence within us that makes us whole. So why don't we experience that? If it's there, if it's ours, why don't we experience it? Because we have this thing called conditioned thinking. It started with the very first thought. The very first one. I'd love to tell you I know what that thought is. I don't know. I wasn't there, and yet I was. There's the paradox of all of this. Right? And it's generational, because every thought, right? Stay with me. We are the infinite in form, so we are eternal. If we are the infinite in form, every thought we have is a thought of the divine, and therefore every thought is eternal. So every thought that has ever been thunk in the history of thinking is alive now. Ooh, right? It kind of invites us to pay attention to what we be thinking. Right? And at the same time, it invites us to be kind, understanding that a lot, if not most, of what we think is because somebody else already thought it. Right? It's not original. It's passed on. It's conditioned thinking. Don Miguel Ruiz lays out the most brilliant explanation of conditioned thinking that I have ever encountered, not in the Four Agreements, in the introduction and chapter 1 before you ever get to the agreements. And if we fail to give due diligence to the introduction and the first chapter, the Four Agreements won't work. Because what he points out is that thinking is our programming, and that it's all based on the reward-punishment system. It's all based on capturing our attention. Okay? It's all based on try. Thank you for that. Right? We keep trying to get something because we have forgotten that we are the something we're trying to get. You already are it. Remember, you're manufacturer approved. Right? We're science of mind. If you want a scientific basis to understand generational trauma, if you want a scientific basis for understanding how conditioned thought works at the physiological cellular level, study Bruce Lipton. Study Bruce Lipton, the biology of belief. Cells learn from one another, right? And they learn based on the environment that they're in. And that cellular information is passed on generation to generation. Now, the upside of that is that what it offers us is that we can break the conditioning. We can re-educate the cells in our being by changing the environment that they're in. How do you change the environment? Change your thinking. Change your life. It's not just pretty words. It's the truth. It's the truth. Are you willing? Because that's the fulcrum. Right? We're on this teeter-totter, spiritual human, spiritual human. The fulcrum is, are you willing? Are you willing? Because both sides weigh the same. Both sides weigh the same. The problem is we tell ourselves a whole lot of lies because we're conditioned to tell ourselves a whole lot of lies. We're conditioned to tell ourselves that who I am may not be okay with you, so who I am isn't okay. The biggest challenge that we have in conditioned thinking, take a breath with me, so we are all conditioned to be professional victims. Ouch. Because, you know, victimhood in spirituality is kind of like racist in social justice stuff. I can be anything except a racist. I can be anything in spirituality except a victim. Newsflash. You can't be human and not have victim consciousness. You can't. It don't make us bad folks, and it's not a death sentence. It's just a fact of conditioned thinking, because conditioned thinking begins and ends with I am separate. And I am separate means I'm not that which created me, which then leads to blaming something. Blaming someone, all blame, all guilt, all shame is some version of victim consciousness. It just is. And I invite you, if you're feeling any defensiveness, if you're feeling any pushback, lean into it. Because we cannot heal what we won't reveal. Right? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say none of you would go to the emergency room thinking you might have a broken arm and refuse to get an x-ray because it might show that your arm is broken. But that's what we do with victim consciousness. I'm not going to look at it. La 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 la. And somehow I'm just not going to be it. Well, that's kind of depressing, isn't it? So what's the solution? Because it wouldn't serve us if we just stopped there. Bruce Lipton says this, which I find quite amazing. Bruce Lipton, if you don't know, is a cellular biologist. Okay? He wasn't when he started a person that had a spiritual bent. And something inside of him kept nudging him. He almost challenged himself right out of his profession. Because what was coming alive in him about cellular biology was in conflict with what he was supposed to be teaching. And he wrestled with it for a long time. And he came to this. I was exhilarated by the new realization that I could change the character of my life by changing my beliefs. I was instantly energized because I realized that there was a science-based path that would take me from my job as a perennial victim to a new position as co-creator of my destiny. So how do we do that? First of all, we identify the thought that is operating. There are no neutral thoughts. Just know that. There's never a moment where you and I are not thinking. There are lots of moments where we are blissfully or painfully unaware of what we're thinking, but it doesn't mean we're not thinking. It just means we've gone to sleep or we're really awake. One of the two. Okay. So I would identify the thought. Now, oftentimes that is most easily done by starting with the outcome. Right? Because we experience something in this physical realm that it's like, what just happened? Answer the question. When you have, because there's something inside of you that is trying to get you there. Right? When you have those moments where, what was I thinking? Answer the question. Stop looking to someone else. A, to give you the right question. And even sillier, to give you the right answer. It's not a quiz. It's not a quiz. You're not going to be graded. Right? Identify. Answer the questions. Own it. I have to clean this story up a little bit. I'm 9 years old, and my nanny, my maternal grandmother, says to me, there is never a reason to be defensive. If you did it, own it. If you didn't, forget it. Now, she didn't say forget it. And so all I heard at 9 years old is my nanny said, forget it. That's all I heard. And it was not until my 30s that it registered. Oh, if I did it, own it. If I didn't, let it go. It's not mine. Now, how do we know we have other people have opinions about us? How do we know that? Because we got opinions about them. This is not brain surgery. How do you know people judge you? Because you judge people. Right? How do you know other people don't like you? Because you don't like you. Thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? Right? You, that place, and especially in relationships, that place where we go, if they really knew who I was, they wouldn't like me. Do you know why you even ask that question? It's so simple. It's because you know you have never shown up. That's why. Something inside of you knows they can't possibly like or dislike you because you, the real you, the authentic you, hasn't shown up. Boy, isn't it safer that way in the human realm. It's like victim caretaking, right? Because if I don't ever let you see who I am, and we're going to talk about this next month, vulnerability. If I don't let you see who I am, you can't actually hurt me. What a lie.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. It's not true because we set up the narrative to be hurt right out of the gate. We have hurt ourselves by an internal narrative that says, I'm not even good enough to be your friend, your partner, your lover, your spouse. So why would I show up? But rest assured, in the back of my narrative, it's going to be your fault when it blows up. Because that preserves my identity as a victim. It preserves everything I've been taught. the hardest thing we will ever do in our spiritual journey is let go of victimhood, is to step 100%, this is the R word, into the responsibility of your life. I shared with somebody a while back what seemed like just kind of a thing for me, but apparently it's way powerful, so I'm going to share it with everybody. Experience every moment of your life as if you chose it, because you did. Let go of the lie that says, I didn't choose this. Because that is the core of victimhood. It says something, someone has the power to think for you. It is not true. It has never been true. It will never be true. You are the only thinker in your mind. And when you own that, oh my God, oh my God, you will experience this thing that Holmes is talking about that is beyond doubt and fear. You will experience your wholeness. In the moment you experience your wholeness, you by design, by definition, by truth, are experiencing the wholeness of all of creation. Yes. Just like that. And it's not anything you can go get. It is something you will excavate by removing the garbage that is hiding it. You already are it. You already are it. Look at one another. Catch somebody eye to eye and say, I see you, God. Let yourself feel that little tingly thing that just happened. And let yourself hear all of the rhetoric that just went, what did he say? We brought him all the way here to be crazy. You did. You did. Not only that, you're paying me. You're paying me to be this nuts.
Just as sane as you can be.
Right? Come on. Here's what I want. I want, before I leave this planet, I want every one of you to know every time you look in the mirror that you are precious. That you are something beyond reproach. That nothing you have ever done, nothing you will do today, nothing you will do tomorrow can change that. It can't. You can't break yourself. Because God can't be broken.
That's right.
All right. That's right.
And you are that in form. I am not all of it, but all of it is right here. And all of it is right there. You don't have to qualify to be a physical emanation of divinity. You just have to learn how to receive it. You just have to learn how to receive it. And so that's really the final thing, is to receive grace. And what does grace mean? Dictionary has a lot of very interesting definitions of grace. We're going to go with this one. God's life. That's grace. God's life. Power and righteousness given to us by unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can't. And it was given to you. So you can ignore it. You can refuse to receive it. But it's there. It's in you.
Yes.
Right? If I drop a package off at your door, it's your package. You won't know what's in it until you receive it and open it. I invite you, receive the gift that you are. Open the gift that you are. Dare to see what's there. And then to just be it. Let's take this into prayer. What I know in every fiber of my being is that there is one life, and that life is God, and God is my life now. That all that the divine is, lives, moves, and has its being at every moment of my beingness. And what is true of me is true of all life. And so I know that every living being is the infinite in form. That all of the infinite lives, moves, and has its being every moment available to itself for discovery, for embrace, for activation. And so I speak my word, claiming and affirming that all of life comes to itself. That life is where woke comes to happen. That life, the thinking of humanity, is where woke comes to grow, to live, to embrace, to know itself. I feel it. I claim it as so. And it is in deep, deep gratitude, knowing that the word spoken is the word fulfilled, I let it go. Because there ain't nothing else for me to do except let it go. And then look for the evidence of its fulfillment. And so I let go. I let it be. And I invite you to make this word your own as we say together. And so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.